Thank you, ladies. Let's go to Revelation 21 in our Bibles this morning, Revelation chapter 21. And we're going to stand in just a moment when you find your place, and we're going to read a few verses here. And just kind of follow the theme of this morning. I thought about that prior to Brother Crumpton saying something about the kind of the theme of the morning through the songs and all has just been about heaven. And I'm glad it has been. Amen. Because, friend, heaven is a great comfort. A great comfort to everybody, but especially the people who've gone through a trial like this family has. So let's stand together, please, in Revelation 21. And we're going to begin reading here in verse 1. And we'll read down through verse number 4. Would you please join me on verses 2 and 4, Revelation 21. Here's what our Bible says. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Our Father, what a great, great promise. Oh, Lord, thank You for it. Thank You for the good songs we've enjoyed about heaven this morning. But, Lord, more wonderful than good music about heaven is Scripture. Inspired, infallible, preserved in this book for us. And we can go to the bank on it. We can depend on it. We can base our eternal destiny upon it. And Lord, thank You for the good Scriptures on heaven. Speak to our hearts today. Bless the music. May it help us now. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. Be seated.
There shall be no more death. You know, it also says in Revelation, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And, you know, death, it seems like, it's hard to explain. It's just the thing that we maybe fear the most. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. And sin is like a chain. The wage of sin is death. It's all connected there. But they're going to sing a song called Then Jesus Came.
Jesus came.
That's a blessing, wasn't it? Man, good singing, boys. Thank you for that. Just want to talk to you for a little bit this morning on the subject of heaven. This is not my prepared message. This is it right here. But I'm as comfortable right now as if I was preaching from the notes in that book right now. I know God wants us to talk on the subject of heaven for a few moments. And when the Spirit of God comes in and says, go this direction, the best thing you do is just get in the way and go with Him. Amen. And wonderful singing this morning on the subject of heaven, from the choir song through a lot of their specials, through a lot of the songs that we sang from our songbook. So let me just talk to you for a few moments about that wonderful place called heaven. Maybe there's somebody in our midst today. You do not have the sweet, and I mean sweet assurance, that heaven is your home when you leave this world. I hope that you can know that when you leave the service today. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for Your book and all that it teaches us. The good songs You have put on people's hearts and minds, that they put words to music. And many of those songs about heaven, You encourage us with them. Nothing encourages us like the Scripture does. So God, guide my thoughts. Take me through these moments, and I pray that Your Spirit will work and speak to us and do whatever He wants to do. Holy Spirit of God, when You're in a service, there's liberty. Thank You this morning for the liberty we feel in this place. Now please come help me in Jesus' name. And amen. You know the setting of the book of the Revelation. If you've been here in our church over these years, we've tried to give it to you every time we preach from this book. The Apostle John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of Jesus Christ and for the Word of God. They put him out there to shut him up. He was the elder statesman in Christianity toward the end of the first century. Paul is gone to heaven. Peter is gone to heaven. James is gone to heaven. John is the last one, if you will, of that group who's still living. He's the elder statesman of Christianity. And they put him out on that island to basically shut his mouth and to shut up his influence. But brother, they might keep, as I said a couple weeks ago, they might keep people from him, but they couldn't keep God from him. And they couldn't keep him from God. And while he was there, God came and gave him the revelation of His Son, Jesus Christ. And this great book of the Revelation, filled in detail about future events that blesses us and just helps us so much, was given to John in unbelievably difficult circumstances. But on that island, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Through a great trial, he maintained his faith in God. Preached a message one time here entitled, "The Greatest Danger in the Trial." The greatest danger in the trial is not the severity of the trial itself. The greatest danger in the trial is that you lose your faith while you're going through the trial. And I'm not minimizing the severity of trials. I've already spoken this morning from my heart about the severity of burying a child. Losing a child is, in my opinion, one of the most, if not the most severe thing a person could go through in this life. Now, I hope I'm not stealing his thunder. Maybe he'll say this again in the service tonight. But he told me last night at the table as we enjoyed a meal together. He said, "Brother Terry," he said, "I don't have a problem with losing one of my children to God. Because they're his anyway." He said, "I have a big problem losing one of my kids to the devil." I thought, what a statement. What a statement from somebody who's buried a child. It would be one thing for me to say that, but for him to say that is evidence and proof that God's grace can sustain you through the most difficult valleys and circumstances in life. If you just stay in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit is not some magical, mystical, ooey-gooey, warm and fuzzy feeling created by a bunch of rock and roll music. We have a philosophical theology in our churches today, an emotional theology that's drummed up by some music that creates a mood. You don't need that. What you need is principles, doctrine, theology from the Word of God that will help you when you walk away from the graveside having left the body of your own flesh and blood behind. Walking in the Spirit Trusting God, trusting in His Word, trusting in the promises of this book. Even though you cannot see them by sight, by faith you walk in the Spirit. And that's what John was on the Lord's Day. He was in the Spirit in spite of a difficult and severe trial on the Isle of Patmos, exiled from society. And yet God came in the revelation of Jesus Christ and opened heaven and let John see all this wonderful book that is recorded for us. And when you get to chapter 21, I love this first verse in chapter 21 where the Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth someday. I believe the old heaven and the old earth are going to burn up someday in fervent heat, where the elements will melt, the Bible says. I believe it's 2 Peter. They'll melt away. And after the first heaven and the first earth have melted away in a fervent heat, the Bible tells us that God will create a new heaven and a new earth. You know, we learn a lot about heaven in this book. And it's interesting what we learn or how we learn about what heaven is like. We learn much about heaven by what is not there. What is not there? Verse number 4 that we read just a moment ago, the Bible says, "There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Drop over to chapter number 22. Look at chapter 22 and look down with me, if you will, at verse number 4. We read this verse last week, and look at verse 3. "And there shall be no more curse," so there's no curse, "but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Did you see how many things we're told are not there? We learn about what heaven is like by what's not there. And friend, I think one reason why the Scripture puts it this way, why the Holy Spirit gave it to us this way, it's so hard for us to comprehend and understand what heaven is like if we're told what is there. In fact, let me show you a Scripture. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you have the testimony of a man who saw heaven, who saw it personally. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 2, Paul is talking here, giving testimony. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 2, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago." He's writing about himself. "Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth," how that he was caught up into paradise. Now I want you to notice, twice here, the Bible says that he was caught up into heaven. Whether he was in the body or out of the body, he couldn't tell. But he was caught up into heaven. You know what this is called, friend? It's called one of these out-of-body experiences that God's people have when death comes near. It's real. You see, there is no in-between time for a child of God when we breathe our last breath here. Our very next breath is taken up in heaven. And the truth of the matter is, I believe we're all, really, obviously I've not experienced this, but I believe from the testimony of many that before your last breath is expelled here, you're already drawing your first breath up there. And your eyes are even open to those things that you're entering into. I remember Miss Chance. Miss Chance out in Iowa, Brother Maxwell, remember Miss Chance, simple lady. I don't have time this morning to say all I want to say. Miss Chance was a simple woman. Go to visit her, and every time we'd visit her, just to stop by and see her for a few moments and have prayer with her, she'd give me a chicken or a quart of green beans or something like that, or a pound of bacon out of her freezer. Just a simple woman. Loved God. Had an old Pentecostal background, but was born again by the grace of God. Became a Baptist by conviction. Loved God. I went to see her in the hospital when Brother Brown was out of town one time, and she was doing poorly. She was up in years, and she was doing poorly. And when I walked into the room, I thought she was gone. I really did. I had to look closely. Her lips were blue. Her feet were sticking out underneath the sheets of the bed. Her toes, her feet were blue. Her lips were blue. I had to look. I could hardly see her chest rising and falling with breath. I thought, "Miss Chance, Miss Chance." She wouldn't respond. I had prayer for her, asked God to be with her. I thought for certain I would get a phone call from the hospital that she'd gone to heaven that night or that afternoon. I was surprised when no phone call ever came. And the next day, I went back to the hospital. When I walked in the room, Mrs. Chance was sitting up in the bed, eating her supper or lunch, whatever it was. I couldn't believe it. I said, "Miss Chance." "Oh, hello, Brother Terry. How are you?" I said, "I'm fine." I said, "I can't believe you're sitting here." I said, "Yesterday I was in this room. You were almost in a comatose state. Your lips were blue. Your feet were blue. I called your name. I didn't hear to see your chest rising and falling. I thought you were gone to heaven. I thought you'd go to heaven before the night was over. I can't believe you're here." "Oh, Brother Terry, I saw it. I was there. I saw it. I saw the trees. I saw the river. I saw the light at the end of the road. I saw it." You say, "What's wrong with Mrs. Chance?" Not a thing. Not a thing. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. Brian Sharp, who's preached in this pulpit many times, rushed into the emergency room down there outside of St. Louis, and Mike's dad falls on his knees. Brother Bragg is his pastor, falls on his knees and begs in the mercy room, "Please, God, don't take Brother Sharp now. Please let Brother Sharp stay with him." I mean, on that table, laying there, life slipping away by the second. And Brian gave testimony here, has given testimony in many places and put it in writing, how that he saw this great light at the end of this mass of people, and he couldn't make out the faces individually, but he could see people standing in a long row and a long road and green trees, and at the end of that long road, a bright and shining light. And all of a sudden, said, "What's wrong with Brother Sharp?" "Not a thing. Not a thing." It's what a child of God can expect when they get ready to breathe their last breath here and take their first breath up there. Paul said, "Well, I don't know if I was in the body or out." This is after he was stoned outside the city of Lystra. And the Bible says after they stoned him, they left him for dead. They didn't see any chest rising and falling with breath. They saw no movement on his body. They stoned him with rocks and they left him there for dead. It's that time that he is writing about 14 years prior to writing here in 2 Corinthians. He said, "I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body. I cannot tell. But I was caught up to the third heaven, up to paradise." And once you look what he said, he said in verse number 4, do you have it there? How that he was caught up into paradise, talking about himself, and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. What Paul saw, he said it would not be lawful for him to put in print or to utter what he had seen, what he had heard in heaven. Now, usually, when we talk about things that you shouldn't speak about, it's because they're bad. There was a day in this country when nobody talked about divorce. That was a word nobody used. Nobody used it. There are days in this country when we didn't speak about other words that are used too frequently now. When things aren't talked about, it's usually because they're so bad. Paul said that when I got to heaven and I was seeing at the paradise in heaven and I was allowed to glimpse in there and hear and see into that wonderful place called heaven, he said the things that I saw and the things that I heard would be unlawful for me to talk about. And he's not talking about bad things. He's talking about good things. Things so good that it would be unlawful for him to put in print. I tell you, friend, that's pretty good. So it's difficult for us to comprehend what heaven is like if God tells us all the things that are there. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 21 and 22. So he describes heaven to us by telling us what is not there. Can you imagine the difficulty you'd have if you went to the Arctic Circle of Alaska, inside that Arctic Circle, and went to an Eskimo village, a primitive, reclusive Eskimo village where there never had been a plane, never, maybe only boat travel, and people reared in that village, maybe 50 and 60 years of age, all their lives, and you tried to explain to those people what Florida was like. And you tried to explain to that Eskimo, "Well, yeah, man, in Florida there's sand." "What's sand?" Now, if you told them in Florida, you know, in Florida there's a palm tree. "What's a palm tree?" "In Florida there's a beach." "Well, what's that?" But if you tell that Eskimo, "Man, let me tell you about Florida. In Florida there's no ice." Now we're getting somewhere with the Eskimo. Amen. He understands, oh, now I'm getting this because he understands eyes. We understand, we learn about heaven by understanding what's not there. I want you to see the very first thing that's mentioned about what's not in heaven. It comes in Revelation 21 at the end of verse number 1. And there was no more sea. Sea in the Bible is a picture of separation. Separation from loved ones. Separation from friends. I can't stand the word goodbye. That's a tough word, isn't it? No more separation. This life, we know separation. This life, we're separated from family. This life, we're separated from friends. We're separated from our parents, and death is the cause many times of separation. You know, it's not easy for my wife and me and even those other children in our family when Ben and Ashley come or when we go there, it's not easy for us to leave them. 10,000 miles away, Brother Crumpton. That's a fur piece. I can tell you and describe for you the parting at O'Hare Airport when they flew to France for language school. I can describe for you the parting in France when he put me on the train after Brindley was born and I flew back to the States. I can describe for you the parting in Madagascar when he took me and Joyce and her dad to the airport. I can describe for you the parting last summer when you folks flew them home and we said so long again up at O'Hare Airport. I can describe in great detail. Those things are etched in my mind and etched in my heart to this very moment. And when I take the time to relive them, I always get a knot in my throat. And many times tears flow down my cheeks. Because it's not easy to say goodbye. Not easy, and I can get on a plane and go see them. If I couldn't take a plane, I could take a boat. It'd take some time to get there. Brother Tim can't get on the plane. Mrs. Crumpton can't get on the boat and go see their son. Those of you that have buried loved ones, children, parents, brothers, sisters, you can't get on a boat or a plane or a train and go see your loved one. But friend, you have this knowledge based on the authority of God's Word that they are in a place already where you are going. And when we all get to heaven, there will be no more separation. No more goodbye. When they leave, I like to say so long or see you later. Goodbye just sounds so final. Over these years, great friends in this church, great friends from other churches, gone by way of the grave to heaven, there's always a lump in your throat. Always. I was thinking the other day about some of the dear folks that I had the privilege to pastor who are now in heaven. And I mentioned this morning in the Sunday school hour at the close of it that Brother Crumpton is here and his family today on the 10th anniversary of the very day that God took Nathan Lockwood to heaven 10 years ago. That was hard, hard passing for me. That was a hard, hard passing for all of our church. Hard passing. Difficult to understand, wasn't it? Isn't it still? Sure it is, folks. Come on, don't be pious. It's still difficult to understand. Now think about it. If the ultimate end of our life is to glorify God, and that is the ultimate end of our life, to bring Him glory. And Nathan at age 18 and Matthew at age 15, Misty at age 6. I think of Ryan Nichols at age 12. Think about some of these young people who've left earth. And the way we look at it, their lives were cut short, but they immediately entered into a place
that Paul said was so wonderful, he couldn't even talk about it. The things that he heard and the things that he saw there were so incredible, it was unlawful for him to talk about it. And they immediately were ushered in. Everybody that's ever had one of those out-of-body experiences always talks about the light. And that's understandable, friend, because God Himself is there and He is the light. And there will be no sun, there will be no stars, there will be no moon. No need of that because God is the light. Everybody that's had one of those experiences talks about the light. They were ushered right into the very presence of God and began to glorify Him and worship Him. I wonder if the things that Paul could not talk about were the things that the people around the throne were singing and praising and saying to God as they glorified Him in heaven. Let me tell you something, friend. I don't mean to minimize problems and severe troubles here in life, but hey, whatever's going on in heaven continues to go on. They've been praising God around that throne for years and years and years and eons, and they'll continue to. And people that leave this planet in death, those that are saved, are ushered right into His presence. And there they begin to glorify and worship God. What better way to glorify Him? What better place to glorify Him than before His throne, as the Bible says, seeing His face? Unbelievable. Now you say, what's the end of that? What is the end of talking about heaven? What is the end of talking about the fact that when we get there, there'll be no more sea, there'll be no more separation, there'll be no more need of all this, there's no curse, there's no death, no crying, no pain. What is the end of all this? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'll show you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and look at verse number 18, the last verse in the chapter. Paul is talking about the rapture, when the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ, with the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then those of us which are alive and remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And then Paul gives the purpose, what we're supposed to do with these truths about heaven and the rapture. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. The teaching on heaven, the things that we learn about heaven, are for the purpose of comfort. Comfort right now. Comfort when your heart is broken so hard you can't believe it. Comfort when you walk away from a graveside, leaving your own flesh and blood in that old dark hole in the ground. Comfort. Comfort from the fact that one of these days we'll all be together. Comfort from the fact that when we get there, there will be no more sea. Comfort from the fact that when we get there, there is no cemetery. There will be no need for a funeral home. No need for a black limousine or a hearse. No need for black crepe on the doorknob. No need for sorrow. There's no crying. There's no pain. There's no tears. It's all gone. Comfort one another with these words. That's why these songs about heaven bless us and help us and encourage us. It's not some kind of drummed up fantasy to get us through a couple of difficult days. It is a reality that you can hang on to and walk with through the very deepest trials of this life. Tom says, you want a song before Sunday school? I said, sure, pick one out. It doesn't matter. And he sings when we all get to heaven. Sweet Beulah Land, just before the shout, the songs that they sang the first time they were up here, the songs about heaven. The Bible's full of references about heaven, wonderful references about that great place where we will spend eternity forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, where we, those who are saved. Now let me tell you something, friend. He said it in Sunday school. I don't have any idea how in the world somebody who's unsaved buries a loved one. How do they get through that? You see, not everybody who leaves this world leaves it by seeing the light at the end of the road. There was a lady in this church years ago, her and her husband. Her husband told me that he had witnessed to some of her family and that he thought he had led her dad to Christ. Her dad got sick and was hospitalized down here at St. Mary's Hospital and passed away in the hospital. After the funeral and everything was over, right out here in this middle aisle, several years ago, she said, Pastor, I want to ask you a question. She said, I was there in the room with my dad when he passed away, when he died. He said he was laying in the bed, and as he began to draw his last breaths, his body began to tighten up and convulse, and his head turned as red as a beet. He was shaking and sweating profusely. And he said, "It's so hot. It's so hot. It's so hot. It's so..." Those are the last things he said. She said, "What do you think happened to him?" I didn't have the heart to tell him. I really didn't. I said, "Boy, I don't know. That's a whole lot different." And I was there. I saw it. I saw the light. Let me tell you something, friend. This life is not the end. There is an eternal destiny for everybody on planet Earth. And that eternal destiny is either heaven or hell. And all the comfort that you and I can take in what the Bible teaches us about heaven, all the comfort you and I can take in these songs about heaven, it's so wonderful. But if you're not sure that you are saved, if you're not sure that you are born again, if you've not been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, had your sins washed in that precious fountain that was opened on the day He died on Calvary and been born into His family, you have no assurance of that wonderful place that's called heaven. And if you leave this world in an unsaved condition, you'll go to the other place. And believe you me, there's no comfort. I'm thankful this morning for the place called heaven. I'm thankful that if you have to put a 15-year-old boy in the ground, that he knows he was saved. I'm thankful that if you have to say goodbye to an 18-year-old boy, he knew he was saved. A 12-year-old boy, he knew he was saved. The most important thing that you'll ever do in this life is to prepare for the day of your leaving this world, and you have no guarantee when that day is. Know that you're saved. Know it. And once you know that you're saved, you understand beyond a shadow of a doubt that that eternal destiny is that wonderful, blessed, glorious place called heaven. And there will be no more separation. When we all get there, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Heaven, is it your home? Is it your home?